If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, there was no Thanksgiving arrest for Ashley Buzzard. She was spending it free, and God knows where her daughter is actually at, Melody Buzzard. But we now have firsthand accounts from the only person who's been inside that house since 9-year-old Melody Buzzard vanished. And what he says happened in there is so disturbing, so chaotic, so psychologically fractured that it changes the entire tone of the case. According to Tyler Brewer, Ashley Buzzard told him she handed Melody, her daughter, to a couple she met at a zoo. Strangers she couldn't name, couldn't call, couldn't locate. She said they kept changing meeting spots across multiple states because they were paranoid about being followed. Then moments later, she snapped. "How do you know I left her in Utah?" she said, her own story collapsing inside itself. He says she showed him a pillow dressed in Melody's hoodie and pants, surrounded by photos ripped from missing posters, a shrine to a missing child. He says she accused him of being undercover police, claimed her house was bugged, deleted her Amazon, bank, and email accounts, told him how to order fake license plate, and then joked, "At least I'm not out partying," when being compared to Casey Anthony. Her daughter is missing. This is the behavior she's been exhibiting, and the system apparently still can't intervene. So we're going to dig into this again and go straight to someone who knows exactly how investigators evaluate a story this fractured, this unstable, and this dangerous. Retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us to help break all of this down. Jen, you know, when I heard that interview with Ashley Banfield the other day with Tyler, I thought, okay, maybe now, maybe they can go in and get an arrest after she has basically a pillow version of her daughter on the couch dressed in her clothing. Maybe someone could intervene. Apparently not. Let's start with that big one. When you hear the mother allegedly claiming she handed Melody to strangers she met at a zoo, with no names, no contact information, and constantly shifting drop-off points, how does law enforcement even begin to investigate a story like this?
Well, first of all, you have to evaluate the person giving you that information. And I have to say, Tyler seemed less than at his hearing, right? I mean, he really made it seem more pronounced than it was in terms of being in fear for his life, being locked behind the locks, being held by a box cutter. His whole story pretty much broke down in large part because Ashley recorded the conversation. So I think you start there. You always start with who's giving you the information. Then you have to evaluate that information. The first thing I did when I heard about it was look for the closest zoo. And that zoo is that San Bernardino Zoo. It's about 60 miles from where they live, if this would even be the zoo that they were referring to. But no matter the zoo, there is footage. And I probably would, just in case this has any truth to it, try to get some footage from that time period at that zoo. But I got to tell you, nothing sounded real about that story.
Do we even know if she maybe thinks that that pillow creature on her couch is her daughter? I mean, I'm you know, taking a stretch here, but if she's claiming she dropped her daughter at a zoo with some other people and there's, you know, melodies on the couch, maybe reality just doesn't exist for her.
Well, I'll agree with you there, Stacey. I mean, from the get-go, I truly believe this is a person who is out of touch with reality, for sure, in and out of touch with reality, and, you know, a beautiful mind situation. But I don't know. When I heard that recording of Ashley, she sounded like the sane one in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It and we can go back to the false imprisonment, which got thrown out. That's the claim that Tyler had made. And when we've heard that, I mean, he did ask to leave three times before she opened the door. In California, if you don't let the person out after one time, it's false imprisonment. The judge said, you know, we don't think this really was truly that. We don't think you felt intimidated. He still sticks to the story that she had a box cutter and that she refused to let him out, and that would have been false imprisonment. Maybe not to the point, you know, of where it was truly, was he in danger? Could he have not gotten out? But it was something. I am surprised that the judge did pull that back, considering that was the only thing that they had on her at the moment. I mean, why not? I mean, she did technically break the law. That was technically false imprisonment. And when you have nothing else to hold her back, do you think it was part of a strategy of, okay, let's not keep her locked away on this. Let's let her back out so we can see where she may lead us?
Well, I liked the strategy of getting her behind bars. I wanted to see a psych evaluation. She was in there for days, yeah. As it was. Did they do any psychological evaluation, and were meds administered, or was that even contemplated, or just she just sit in a jail cell, Tony? So you know, very concerned that there was this opportunity. And I was also very concerned when the judge early on said, we're not going to even consider the situation involving Melody when we're talking about bond. You know, that was a red flag to me where this judge's head was.
Why do you think that was? I mean, this is such a complex situation, but to pretend like there's not this other huge element of the missing child, which is a far more important aspect of this whole case versus the false imprisonment. I mean, I get, you know, you're looking at two totally different things and you have to rule on them different ways. But I mean, consider the circumstances. It's not like this wouldn't have been the first case where somebody gets checked for something else while they wait longer to file the charges on something greater, like the whatever happened to the daughter. Are you surprised that the judge was that disconnected from this, or do you think that there was some sort of strategy in this, or just this is just, you know, another mindless judge making mindless rulings?
You know, I think this judge had information. Probably, you know, the defense was ponying up, listen, judge, she recorded everything and we know this is, you're not going to like this. And so I think that was probably some consideration. Of course, he had that, you know, hearing right away. And that came out. It just looked so bad. I have to be honest. It made him look bad, but that doesn't mean that Ashley didn't say some of those things. It just doesn't mean that. And I think it's very plausible that she could have said a lot of those things.
How does that work for investigators? Because the claims are all over the board from the zoo family. I mean, let's just start there. Because when you're dealing with people who are delusional, there's usually some sort of nugget of reality within the storyline. Not the whole thing, but there's usually something. So when you hear that she had this conversation with this family she met at a zoo, and she says in her mind that she has to go have this surgery. She's not going to be able to take care of her daughter. So naturally, in her mind, well, let's just go give my daughter to this lovely couple at the zoo. They have a child, too. They must like kids. And then gives her daughter to this couple, claims, at least according to Tyler, the claim is that they were going to have phone calls every day with Ashley and Melody while Melody's in their care. And that's never happened. It really makes me start to wonder a bit of how legit could this actually be in some way, shape, or form? Did she think that this was what was going on and that's the logical action to take? And then did she talk to the wrong people? Did she talk to people who have ill intent, who saw this as a not well person but wanted to take a kid? And it does make me wonder in a weird way of, you know, did she give her daughter to strangers, believing or thinking that this is how it's all going to work out, and inadvertently trafficked her daughter without even realizing it because she's just so not there? And now she has no idea where the kid is. And I wonder if there was a moment of realization there of her thinking, oh, shit. And I mean, that would be a tough one to wrap your mind around on a good day, not to mention someone as fragile as she is. If she has some sort of realization of, yeah, I just gave my kid to strangers and they're not calling me back, that would be a tough pill to swallow.
I think this zoo story is absolute BS. Mm-hmm. I don't find any part of it as being real. Grounded in reality. First of all, it would have had to happen on this trip, which we've already talked about. You can barely manage within the 3 days she was gone. Literally cannot manage it. They would have had the information from the car that she rented to show that it went there or didn't go there. So this is going to be so easy for the Bureau to work out whether she ever went to any zoo in Utah, any place else. I think it's going to end up being absolute baloney, but that doesn't mean it's not baloney up here.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I keep saying, anybody who doesn't understand this, please watch the movie A Beautiful Mind, based on reality, with Russell Crowe. It really gives, if any of you haven't had somebody in your close inner circle with these issues, it is amazing to see what their reality is. And it is so real to them.
That's what I'm wondering, because I mean, it when you hear the story, it's like, oh, I mean, this it sounds crazy. The decisions are horrible that she's making, if they're true, if it's what, you know, Tyler is describing, if this is how she said that she conducted herself. But it all lines up in a way of like, well, it's made sense to her. And here's how A plus B equals C. It's not a good way of getting to A plus B equals C, but it's how she got there in her mind. But what part of this is overlaying reality that is true? Because obviously she did go on that road trip. Her story says that it was moving from area to area. That's why she was so erratic, because the couple she was going to give the kids to wanted to keep moving the spot of where they were going to meet because they were paranoid about being followed too. It makes you wonder, did she meet another like-minded individual that was also paranoid and out there in their thinking? And was that part of the element? Or was she literally just driving random places because the voices were telling her to? Because these people were telling her to, but these were people that were only existing in her brain.
I picked the latter.
Yeah.
It was existing in her brain. But, you know, there's been something that has always bothered me, and that was that long, extensive road trip to Nebraska. A lot of people said, well, that's the hub of trafficking, you know, all the semis and everything that go through there, blah, blah, blah. I never thought this was a trafficking case. I still don't. I could be proven wrong to come. I really don't think that she would ever give up control of that child. That child is her whole world. And, but I always wondered, did she have another purpose? You know, was she being so secretive in her actions, going there and changing plates and everything? In other words, Could she have been going there for another reason, such as a delivery of something that would have been illegal? How was she getting her money? All of that, the Bureau and everybody needs to be looking into. Who funded that 10 grand? Who funded her to be there? Who paid for the U-Haul that came to the house? Who's paying for her existence? Yeah. And what stops were there that were made in that area? And what has she done in the past? Because I understand that she's made trips like this before in the past. I'm just saying they really need to look at, was there a more pragmatic reason for her leaving and then coming back? And what happened to Melody at the end of that trip, which I just can barely hold out any hope that she's alive at this point, especially when we heard about the, you know, doll on the couch dressed like her. I mean, that's just so indicative of somebody who's killed a child.
Have you seen this in your work before? Anything like this?
Well, what I have seen in my work is people either doing one of two things. One, they erase all, you know, existence of them. That's why, to me, it was so important when they did that second search warrant. I wish I could have been, you know, a fly on the wall and seen, is her room erased? Mm-hmm. Often they erase everything, get rid of everything. The other thing is they set up these sort of shrines, you know, to mirror shrine. So I was curious as to if either of those, and if we're to believe Tyler, it looks like we might have one.
Yeah, I mean, you got the erasures starting to go on. There's that U-Haul that she had the other day, and Tyler explained when asked why, you know, what is she taking out of this U-Haul? It's Melody's stuff. Basically, she's not going to need it. She's getting rid of all of her things, putting it in that U-Haul. She's got the shrine on the couch that doesn't, you know, speak well as to, you know, the whereabouts of Melody, of her being alive. Then you get into, okay, what happened here? If Melody is, you know, her world, do you think this was something, pure speculation here, we don't know what happened, but if we're speculating, it makes me wonder, was there some sort of horrible accident that took place? Was this intentional to get rid of Melody? And like I said, I go back to a little bit this idea of, were there some other people involved, and in her delusions, literally gave her daughter away to strangers? And unfortunately, that may be the best case scenario in this whole story, because it could show that maybe she's still alive. God knows with who, but I don't know that the other two scenarios lead to a living child.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the best case scenario, and it's not a good one, Tony.
Yeah.
But I also think it's not that probable. And the reason is, unless she just gave them to somebody out in the sticks that has no interaction with anyone, other people would notice that. You have a school-aged child that just all of a sudden shows up. And, you know, what individual is willing to kind of do that wouldn't be in the trafficking business? So then that way we circle back to the trafficking. I don't believe she wanted to get rid of her. Hear me out on this thought, just thoughts on this that make sense. You're on this trip, again, 3 days straight traveling. We don't know how much they were even eating. I mean, it is so stressful to drive 3,000 plus miles in such a short period of time. Everybody's tired. Ashley, I think, being the driver, would be completely stressed. And what kid after 1 hour doesn't say, "Mom, when are we getting there?
Are we there yet?" Yep.
You know, kids just, especially a 9-year-old, it would just be a very difficult amount of time for 20 plus hours, 30 hours, 40 hours to be in that car. Especially, we haven't heard anything about them lodging anywhere. So now they're sleeping in the car. It's cold. It's just the whole thing is really problematic. And you wonder if there weren't some sort of tension between mother and daughter at some point. And did that all blow up? There's a lot of possibilities.
Can we talk about the plate switching, because, you know, we're sitting here saying, isn't there anything that we can do? And I mean, the collective we of the community here, but that's illegal. I mean, I was driving around with expired license tabs for a day and I was paranoid, like I'm going to get ticketed. You can't switch plates on a car. Couldn't they take her in for that? Or do you think there's something else going on that we're going to leave that alone? We're going to leave that because we need to watch her out in the wild. Do you think there's anything that they could do with this?
I think, first of all, that would be such a weak charge. I can't even think of any federal charge that would involve tag switching in this particular set of circumstances. And you have now your interstate travel. So exactly when did the tag get switched? You know, all of that. I mean, it was a rental car. I don't know. I think that would be such a flimsy. I mean, I love what you're thinking, where you're going, you know, just like what they did with Brian Laundrie. They said, listen, he used her credit card illegally. Bam, we're going to charge him with bank fraud, you know, which is a federal violation that has, I believe, at least 10 years, depending on exactly the bank fraud charge. So they had some teeth with it, right? And I know what you're saying. What teeth would stick? Because if not, she's just going to be right back out and you've really done nothing. They need to get something that will stick with her. And, you know, I think watching her and what she's been doing, you know, the U-Haul, you know, this interface with Tyler, I think certainly it's going to help build their case, building block after building block, when they do get her. In other words, now we know we have a witness that at least will testify likely as to what he saw. He's not going to change his testimony that he saw this shrine. We have the U-Haul that was rented. There's been various steps too of her. Did you see the medical taxi that showed up and, you know, took her for a time frame? I keep wondering, what was that medical taxi about? Is she getting medical help somewhere? Is she on lithium or some other, you know, strong drug to try to keep her grounded? Or is she completely in la-la land? Routine. We don't know.
And it makes me wonder a little bit too, because you have someone who has obviously, from what it appears, some paranoid delusions that are going on, to put it lightly. She has a history. It makes you wonder too, how much is this whole situation also verifying to her suspicions and her paranoia of people are watching me, I'm being followed. Because now she literally is. I mean, that's not a delusion anymore. She is being watched. She is being followed. See, everyone is paying attention to her. And if that's your paranoia to begin with, when no one is doing it and now everyone is doing it, that just reinforces that way of thinking even more, which it could result in her going further underground in her own sort of way, you know, or it may draw her out to try and escape. I don't know. I feel like we're just watching this injured animal in the wild right now. Like, go see if she finds her cubs. It's like, why? And we're just like, this is the only way we can do it. I don't know why this is the only way we can do this, but that's kind of what it feels like we're doing right now, is watching this injured animal.
That's an interesting analogy. As I've said from the top of this, I have never understood, and I will never understand, why a judge can't summons her to court, dependency court, to make her say, this is not, this is really the way it works. And I don't understand why it's not working this way. I don't know whether their docket is just so full of missing kids and parents that aren't answering about them that they don't have room for her on the docket. I don't understand why she isn't being called before court. And maybe she is, and we just don't know about it, because dependency court, that's all secret whenever you're talking about a juvenile court, Tony. So, you know, it's possible some things are going on behind the scenes. I think the biggest thing going on is the FBI, and I say the FBI, not the local jurisdiction, not that they're not working their rear ends off, but the Bureau is handling everything in that 3,000-mile trek, and that's when something happened. And so, you know, they're trying to recreate every single stop, and I think it's interesting. It's been at least 2 weeks now, I think, since we've had the Bureau come out and say, listen, here's another breadcrumb. Has anybody seen her here? Has anybody seen her there? So that tells me that when they're not reaching out, that they're getting their own answers, that they don't need the public's help right now because they are on the track.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that conversation that Tyler had the other day with Ashley really made with Banfield really made it was just a litany of new pieces of new breadcrumbs that came out. You know, if we're to believe that they're true, I don't think we have any reason not to believe that he'd be telling the truth on these things of what was claimed. It's scary that that's the way that this information was gathered or shared by this former friend of hers that happened to go in, happened to get this, and he happened to be able to reveal all this, that it wasn't law enforcement, it wasn't an investigator, it wasn't by force, it wasn't this or that, it was just kind of by happenstance that came out, and there's nothing that can be done apparently right now to force her hand anymore. But I think you're right, maybe there, and I think we got to hope that behind the scenes, they have more information, and maybe that they're on a path, and maybe disturbing Ashley Buzzard is not the way to get to wherever they're trying to get.
Well, and I wanted to make one point too about Tyler, and maybe that's why I have sort of this air of being, you know, disgusted with him coming forward. And Ashley Banfield does such a great job of, you know, investigative reporting and getting important witnesses to come on. But I tell you, as an investigator, as an agent, whenever I talk to witnesses that were important, and he was important in the, you know, the small case that got dismissed, and he's important in the bigger look and scheme of things, I always just said, please don't say anything. Please just right here, we're going to make a document of this. Please don't go into the public. Please don't talk to your friends and neighbors about what you have to say. And I'll tell you why. Exactly what we've seen play out with this guy. Remember, we have all of these instances where he was saying what happened. And then all of a sudden, we see in court that, well, he really could get out, and she let him out, and the box cutter was on the ground, at least if you're to believe the photo that was taken. You know, stories then, and now you have a witness that could have been a very strong witness in your big case, now doesn't look like a strong witness because it's a he said, she said, and last time the go around went, it didn't work well. I'm disappointed that he came out when he could be a good witness.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, and I don't know the answer to this question, and maybe he addressed it in the interview. I don't recall. All the information that he relayed to Ashley Banfield the other day on her podcast and on her show, did he first go to law enforcement with this, or did this all just come out with Banfield in that conversation?
I strongly believe that he would have told law enforcement all of this, and that they know all of this, and they kept it under wraps. And I know, I can tell you as an agent, somebody working a case, a missing child case, you're just sitting back going, oh my God, can people just stop? Mm-hmm. Can we just keep the investigation integrity, within the confines, other than when you need people to help you get information, So I'm just disappointed in Tyler. I really am, as a witness. And he's discrediting himself, I think, because his story has changed somewhat. And that's disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, it. Unfortunately, when you have nothing, anything that comes along is going to be of consequence. And he seems to be the only whisperer we have to Ashley at the moment in time that has any sort of information that's coming from her, and just makes it even more confusing than this case already is.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.